there's never any interesting things to do. As interesting as you think they are, they always get boring really fast.
Oh, yeah.
I sit on a computer, I collect pictures, I talk to people, and then I sell stuff on eBay occasionally, but I've been too lazy to even put stuff on, which I don't know why. I mean, I need to because I need to pay some of my bills, but I'm just like, eh. It's like, I can't be bothered right now.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask what you do as like a day job type thing, but being hurt, I doubt you can do much.
Yeah, lately I haven't been able to do much. Usually I work for my friend at a travel agency and I stuff envelopes.
Well, that's exciting.
It's not bad. It's okay, because I don't mind filing and stuff like that. So that's easy for me, and I sit in an office and I don't talk to anybody, really. That's perfect for me.
See, now, I work as a clerk at a cash reader.
And oh, really?
Yeah, I work there, and the same people that own that own one of those little stores where everything in it costs a dollar. So every now and then I have to go and, like, sit there and be bored out of my skull.
But, I love those stores.
Yeah, they're cheap and all kinds of crap to look at.
Yeah, please. It's just like when I go up to visit my sister in Connecticut and stuff like that, we go to all those stores.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to enough of them down south, too.
Yeah.
Because me and Chris always see them and we're like, oh, go there! We can afford all of that.
No, I think it'd be definitely interesting to see you guys running around in my hometown. That would be cool.
Well, we've done that in, like, Birmingham, Alabama and stuff like that, and people are just like, okay. And just, like, between the Mohawks, and now I just shaved my head so I'm bald.
Mm-hmm.
The long goatee and all the tattoos. I look like every other biker.
Yeah, there's a lot of the guys that look like that here.
Yeah, that's why I fit in perfectly. Like Dave with the long dreads and really skinny and all the tattoos, that doesn't fit in down there. Mohawks once in a while fit in,
mm-hmm.
but that's a rare thing too. Me, I can go just about anywhere.
I think you would even fit into where I was born and raised. But my hometown is the most racist, anti-everything town I know of. But the look that you have right now, you would probably actually fit in.
Oh, yeah. I always fit, like, all the white supremacists and stuff like that. I always fit in with that look, which always gets me in trouble, considering I live in New York.
Yeah.
Because people see me and they're just like, oh, just like, not what you think. Where my sister lives in Connecticut, they have like a KKK rally thing hanging in the windows and stuff like that. You wouldn't think that, but they do. It's just like you think something's not going to be that way. You think it would be down south and hidden somewhere, and it's not. So it's just like I go to these places and it's just like, holy shit. It's like this stuff exists.
Well, now, I don't even fit in my hometown anymore, and I think I look fairly normal. My girlfriend, she looks just like Betty Page with the black hair bangs and all that. And I took her to eat one night in my hometown, and I was wearing plaid punk rock looking pants, and she was dressed, you know, like she always dresses, really sexy and goth. And everybody kept looking at us really funny, you know, and she kind of pulled me to the side, and she's like, why did everybody look so freaked out? And I'm like, well, you got to remember, they're 10 years behind on everything.
Yeah.
And they're extremely southern and very anti-difference. And, you know, like I said, you would fit in. You actually look like some of the guys that hang out there. But, you know, anybody else, it scares them.
Oh, yeah, they're just not used to it. I mean, it's I've been so many places now, and as you go more places, people are just like, holy shit, they're like, where were we? Oh, man. I can't remember. There was a Loretta Lynn's Country Kitchen across from where we ate. I think it was in her hometown, and I don't remember where that is.
Okay, well, that would be in Kentucky then.
Yeah, so that's probably where we were, like driving through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like in a cowboy hat and a pair of jeans and like a shirt and just like flip-flop things, and I just wander in. No, everybody thinks I'm a trucker.
Uh-huh.
Nobody says a thing to me. Dave walks in, no eyebrows, with dreads and all tattooed. Chris walks in with a big yellow mohawk, and Tom walks in shaved head with long hair in the front. And I was like, oh my god, I was like, they're gonna fucking kill them. They didn't even look at me, and I'm usually the one who gets stared at. They didn't even look at me. They were talking to me. They didn't really talk to anybody else. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is great. I was like, they're gonna die. So
and you're going to get to sit and watch.
Well, no, I'd have to help, but...
You feel obligated to help.
Well, we need to keep Chris alive, you know, keep writing stuff.
Yeah, Chris seems a little bit important with the band.
Yeah. Just like somebody said to me recently, they were just like, oh, Chris is the music, and you're the business. And it's just like, fuck you. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, leave me alone. I was like, forget it. I was like, I don't even want to hear that. I just hate the studio.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I just don't enjoy doing. I'd rather be on stage.
So the studio is just something that Chris has bought and kind of built himself, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's his thing. That's what he does well. He hates to speak, hates to do interviews.
Okay, well, that explains why he won't ever respond to me when I ask him about the interview.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the one who always has done them all. Chris has done a few, but it's rare. And we don't particularly like Dave to do them because he said a few things that I was just like, holy shit. Did you read the one that was on the webpage? Some link? And it was like, where did the bio lyrics come from? And he was like, it's all for the love of women. And I was just like, no. I was like, Dave, I said, are you not, like, listening to what the lyrics are? I was just like, it's as misogynistic as you can get. And I was like, yeah, that's really women loving there. I was just like, holy shit. I was like, no. Me and Chris were just looking at each other going, never again. And it was just not a good thing. Well, it's just not us.
Well, that's pretty funny, though. I remember hearing that, actually. I remember hearing that it was all for the love of women, but I couldn't remember who said it.
That was Dave. We were like, what the hell is that? It was just like, we don't do it for that reason. It was just like, especially me.
Yeah.
I was like, I do it to destroy things. It was just like, you're never supposed to have any boundaries. You know what? This band is just here to destroy whatever anybody ever thinks is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And those lyrics are just mind-numbing to some people. I'm just like, good.
Oh, man. It's some of the best, you know, hateful lyrics I have ever heard. I mean, as, you know, a musician myself, I remember in high school doing the whole angst-driven, I hate everyone lyrics in my first band. And you guys blow me away. I mean, you know, I don't think I could ever write anything as mean as that.
The one time we were all working on lyrics, just driving around, and we were just like reading them later on. We were just like, oh my God, we're like, this is just so cruel. But, you know, it's just like, it all comes out of sarcasm. It all comes out of just like sitting there and just going, think of the most fucked up things you can do, and considering all of us, we have a good collection of fucked up thoughts, and it just all comes out wrong, but it seems to be right for some people. If people are just so truly correct and they read them, then we're truly wrong, which is good.
Sometimes it's kind of immature too, and I like that. Like, I think of like a toddler when they learn a word that you don't want them to know, and they just say it over and over and over and over. It's like one of your tracks off Techno Horror, where he keeps saying, I hate you, you fucking cunt. Over and over. I love that. That is just genius.
Well, you know what that is? That's like having Tourette's. That's exactly what it is. It's just saying all the bad things that you're never supposed to say. And you just keep saying it over and over again until people have heard it enough. Well, that's like Bad Karma on a new album. It just keeps going. And when we have to play that live, I'm like, holy shit, it's just like... Stop it.
I listened to the new album once all the way through, and but it wasn't really quite the right setting. We were outside, and it was all sunny and happy, and my girlfriend was laying out in the sun, and then I've got this blaring, and I think her mother came out and said, man, that stereo sounds awful. And my girlfriend says, no, I think that's how it's supposed to sound. So, I mean, it wasn't really the right setting to kind of soak it all in.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
That's always the funny thing, though. I love parents. They're like, this is crap. Even my mother used to say this. She was like, can't you do something nice? And it was just like, this is nice for me. I was like, come on. I was like, look at what I grew up with. I grew up, like, listening to Kiss and then, like, Judas Priest and only the heaviest things that I could find at that point. you know, and then you move on, and then all my friends are, like, listening to, like, you know, like, Poison and all of that stuff, and I went in different directions. I went to, like, black metal and British stuff, but I mean, I always listened to British stuff when I was growing up, like Thin Lizzy and all of those bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, well, early British heavy metal, and then, you know, everybody kept going in different directions, and I just kept getting heavier, which is what I wanted.
That's cool.
Like, once you find Venom, there was, like, no going back for anything else. You just went more brutal.
Hmm.
That's it. That's the only thing that there should have been.
And I'm still trying to figure out what band you were in.
Oh, Lord. did you used to read Kerrang?
A little. I mean, I'm a little bit younger than people expect me to be.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 24. And
okay, so
I remember when Kerrang was out, and I think it's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just not good anymore.
Not as big as it used to be.
No, because I started buying it in, I have the first, how many, 300 issues of it.
Mm-hmm.
In the first issues, it was just like bands like The Rods and AC/DC and Ozzy, and it was just like all stuff like that. So it was like 1985.
Mm-hmm.
It came out. So I think you were a little too young for that.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And I was on the cover of it in 1987. It was like a four-part cover. It was my band, Morbid Angel, Testament, and I can't remember the last one. But it was stuff like that. So I was on the cover. And nobody'd ever know it was me. I have long blonde hair, completely covered in blood, wearing like chicken bones, and yeah, you know, so I've come a long way.
Well, that's cool.
Now I'm old and infected, sitting at home.
You're everything that embodies bile.
Yeah, I am sort of. I'm just the destructive force. And Chris is just home, like playing with Levi now. From Thrill Kill Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's working on his album.
Well, how's your album going? Is it kind of on hold right now?
Yeah. It has moments when it just starts going, and I sit here and I write stuff and I get stuff done and I just put it to the side. And I worked on stuff in like 1985, 86, and I still have tapes of it. I used to play for people and they're like, this is really fucked up. And I was like, okay. This is like right as Skinny Puppy and all that stuff. And I was doing the same sort of stuff before anybody else was around me.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just listen to it, and they're like, that's not music. And now when I played it for people, they're like, oh, my God. They were like, that was really weird. I'm like, good. So part of me wants to use some of that, but, you know, everything becomes dated after a while.
Oh, yeah.
So as I do stuff, I'm like, okay, don't want this on anymore. And it was like, then you move on. And it was like, okay, done with this. So I'm forever changing stuff, just like Chris does. If we didn't get like the stuff away from Chris, he would just keep changing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that he does, it just keeps changing. And we're just like, okay, we're like leave it alone. We're just like, fine.
He seems to be a bit of a perfectionist, if you ask me. It seems like he just would work on it for hours and hours and hours. And even though we would love it, you know, he's going to hate it.
Oh, yeah. And there are things that he still hates. Like, if you ask him about the Technohore album, he despises that album. He hates that. He thinks that's the worst thing.
Yeah, he's a true artist. A true artist
and
never likes their art.
Oh, no. And that also came from, the whole feel of the band at that point. He hated it. He wanted nothing to do with that stuff. So now he listens to it. He likes the songs. He just doesn't like the whole, like, vibe of where that album was coming from for him.
Hmm.
So it's just like, well, let's record it again and change it, you know. We could have a good time. We could turn that into something really evil now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And you guys seem to be doing a great job with owning the own record label and doing it all yourself. How many records did you say you had sold now? I think I saw in the newsletter that you...
No, probably in total, like, with the first three and ours and all that stuff, I'm well over 100,000.
That's amazing.
Amazing, considering nobody's ever done a fucking thing for us.
That's what kills me. I mean, you guys are an amazing band. You're definitely in my top five bands of all time. And it's like, record labels don't care. MTV doesn't care. Radio doesn't care. Ozfest, I think you guys needed to be on Ozfest way back when it started. And all they want is the trendy bands right now, and it's killing me.
Oh, yeah, but Ozfest just didn't work for a band like us, being out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything where you have to be out in the daylight and stuff like that, nobody needs to see us. You know, that's something that you can't hide from. So it's just like, people are like, oh, Ozfest and Lollapalooza, and we were just like, you know, it's just like a band like us would just get stuck on the second stage and nobody would ever pay attention, and you just sort of get lost.
But I'm really excited about your album. I was actually telling my girlfriend the other day that I can't wait for you to actually get that out. I'm anxious to hear it.
It's just like Chris tells me all the time, he's like, come over and just do it. And it's just like, we got Levi up here from Chicago. So, I mean, if Levi can go from Chicago to Long Island, I can travel like 35 minutes to finally finish something.
Mm-hmm.
But just like I said, getting me outside of my house is almost impossible at times. Getting me to leave my home is something that I hate doing. And so I'm in my house 24 hours a day, sometimes for weeks at a time, where I just won't leave. So
it must be nice sometimes.
it has its moments. So, I mean, finally to finish my stuff, when he's done with Levi and we have a few weeks off, I'll probably go finish it, which will probably take about a day, because everything's going to be noise, everything's going to be fast, and it's just going to be nasty. That's all I really know how to do.
Fast and nasty.
I can't sit there and record Barry Manilow stuff. That ain't going to happen. You know, I like noise. I like repetition. I like static. I want stuff like White mm-hmm. House and Nurse with Wound and just stuff that's unconstructed and just violent. You know, I mean, it's not the best thing for everybody, but it's what I need to get out at some point. So I need to finally finish that. So they'll come out.
I'm anxious for it. I'm excited, and I'm kind of hoping maybe you'll be gracious enough to send Dead Puppy a promo copy to review.
Of course.
And
yeah,
go ahead.
When I finally get it done.
I'm excited about it. Like I said, I've been a Bile fan for a while, and I've actually finally collected everything but the re-release of Nightmare Before Christoph.
That
took me a while. I've got both versions of Sex Reflex. I've got the original Christoph before he actually had it manufactured.
Oh, you got the burned one.
Yeah. But it took me a while, and I've even got a CD that all he wrote on it was For You, and it's got Scentless Apprentice and then the two tracks that he added to Nightmare Before Christoph.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we're going to put those probably out again. So every time we put out something, everything always changes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever stays the same more than once for us. Well, it's like people get upset at us. They're just like, why do you keep changing stuff? You make us keep buying stuff. And I was like, it had nothing to do with wanting to make money off it. It has to do with us just wanting to be, you know, forever changing, always different, you know. And we seem to do that well. We'll be right back.
self-esteem.